Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Beis. We begin Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by the virtual Halacha program in honor of starting Hilchos Brachos, the program which, under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level whenever you can, wherever you are. Visit vhalacha.com. For more information, everyone is encouraged, of course, to learn Halacha as well as Gemara, and it's a wonderful program. So we are beginning our Rosh Hashanah Daf Beis, and the Daf is going to... Well, first let's talk a little bit about what the Masechta is going to talk about before we talk about what the Daf is going to talk about. So this Masechta is called Rosh Hashanah because it explained, for obvious reasons, it discusses the details of the various Rosh Hashanim that happen throughout the year. It's called Rosh Hashanah B'Lash Yachid, even though it discusses Rosh Hashanim, the Pnei Yeshua explains, because there's one main Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Rosh Hashanah of Echad B'Tishrei, and the Masechta primarily discusses that, but even though it touches upon the other Rosh Hashanim as well. In the Sefer Smuchim La'ad, quoted here in the introduction in the Masifta, he says that since in Rosh Hashanah man was created and is judged on Rosh Hashanah each and every year, that's why the whole Masechta is called for that Rosh Hashanah, because everything else that exists in the world, the Tevuah and the Peros and the Mayim, all of that was created Litzorecha Adam. So therefore, there's clearly one dominant Rosh Hashanah, because there's one dominant creation, and that is mankind. And he says the raya is that the Briyas HaOlam began on Chaf Hei Elul, but Adam was Nivra Be'echad B'Tishrei, and yet Chaf Hei Elul is not a Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah. So you see that's the dominant Rosh Hashanah because of Briyas HaAdam. The Masechta, the Meiri writes in his introduction to the Masechta, then the Masechta discusses five topics. It discusses these manim that they decided to make a Rosh Hashanah for different things, and that's what the first Mishnah is going to be about. Why it is that we identified each of these time periods to associate with their respective halachos. The second thing is it's going to discuss Kiddush HaChodesh and how we let the Bnei Gola know about the Kiddush HaChodesh, when they would send out shluchim, when they wouldn't. The third topic is to discuss the edim that they're mekabel for Eidus HaChodesh, who's kosher for that, who's pasur for that, how we're mekabel them, what kinds of chakiros we ask them, how they would be mekadesh the chodesh, the details of actually being mekadesh the chodesh. Fourth, we're going to discuss Tkiyas Shofar and halachos of the shofar itself, and the method of how to blow the shofar properly, the dinim of the tokeya and the shomeya, and the zman that's appropriate to be tokeya shofar, and when we should not be tokeya shofar. And then the fifth is going to be the actual tefilos hayom of Rosh Hashanah, the brachos and the additions to the tefilos of musaf, and that's going to bring us to the end of the Masechta. So those are the five basic topics that are covered here in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Now in today's daf, we start with the Mishnah that's going to list the Arba Rosh Hashanah, the four Rosh Hashanahs, the list of the four Rosh Hashanahs and what they are a Rosh Hashanah for. Then the Gemara is going to explain that Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is really about shtaros, it's about dating a shtar, and why it's so important to have a predetermined time that you're going to date a shtar by, that you're going to number the years on the shtar. It relates to shtar muktam and shtar mu'uchar and the difference between them. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to quote a Brisa with three different cases. A king dies in Adar, another king rises in Adar. A king dies in Nisan, another king rises in Nisan. Or a king dies in Adar and the next king doesn't take over until Nisan. And we're going to explain what the Chiddush is in terms of how we count the years of Shtaros in each of those three cases. Then in the middle of Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us the source of how we know to count for kings from Nisan. Where do we derive it from? The Mishnah is going to tell us that there's such a halacha, but how do I know that? And then the Gemara is going to have the source to count. Sounds like a funny discussion, but the source of how we know to count the years of Yetzias Mitzrayim from Nisan. It's a little bit of a funny question, because it happened in Nisan, but not just because it happened in Nisan doesn't mean that that's how we're going to do the accounting for it. The accounting might have been from Tishrei, because after all, Briyas HaOlam was in Tishrei. So we're going to have the source of how we know that we count the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim starting considering Nisan as the Rosh Hashanah. I still am not sure why it is that we wait till now to learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, I'm not really sure why it comes after Maseches Beitza and way after Maseches Yuma in terms of the Daf Yomi cycle. So I'm sure if someone out there knows, I'm sure someone will send me an email. But I don't. I hope someone sends me. I don't know. I'm not sure. People ask me the question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Okay, so says the Mishnah. Now let's begin the Masechta. Arba Rosh Hashanahim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs, and each of them have specific dinim. Be'echad b'Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. The first Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of Nisan. That's the first year for kings that they would write the zman in shtaros. They would write the date in the shtaros based on how many years that king has based on how many years since the beginning of the reign of that king. And they did this mishum shlom malchus. They would say this is such and such a month to the such and such a year since the beginning of the reign of Melech Ploni. And each Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they would the calendar would flip, even though the king started to took over the throne only in Shvat or in Adar. He could be in charge for 1 month, and you were already calling it the second year. And then Gemara is going to explain the Mayn Afkamino. Who cares how we do the accounting, whether we call it the first year or the second year? Why that would make any difference whatsoever? Now Rashi writes that the reason they would do this is Mishum Shlom Malchus. Tosas has two kashas on this. Really, Mishum Shlom Malchus? That's why they had to do this. Tosas says the Gemara, first of all, in tomorrow's daf is going to tell us that our Mishnah is talking about Malchei Yisrael. It's not talking about Malchei Umas Olam. So if we're talking about Malchei Yisrael, there's no need for Shalom Malchus. Shalom Malchus is when we're dealing with Malchei Umas Olam. We don't want them to think that the Jews are against them or don't honor them or don't properly view their kingship as something of value. So that makes sense for Malchei Umas Olam. How does that make sense for Malchei Yisrael? And furthermore, the Gemara says l'may hilchsa l'shtaros, and by shtaros it's not mishum shalom malchus, because they would write shtaros begola for Malchei Yavan, and we're not choshesh for the shalom of that malchus that we're in right there. Meaning, if we're living in Golos, we're writing shtaros l'Malchei Yavan and not l'Malchei wherever we are. So obviously, we're not that concerned about shalom malchus. It's dafka by a get where we don't write l'Malchei Yavan, we write l'Osa malchus that it's Shalom Malchus. So those are those two kashas. So the Ran says that no, they would typically count the Malchei Yisrael because of the chashivus and the gadlus of Malchei Yisrael. And in Perek HaZorik it says Mishum Shalom Malchus. That's because the Malchei Umos would know that the Jewish people would write shtaros based on their own kings, and they would count the years of their own kings. So if they wouldn't do the same for the Malchei Umos, then the Malchei Umos would be makbid, because they would assume that it's because we're not considered real kings. The Jewish people aren't considering us to be real kings. So that's what Rashi really means, says the Ran. He doesn't mean that the counting for that the reason we do it for Malchei Yisrael is Mishum Shalom Malchus. He's saying that we have to do it for all other kings once we do it for Malchei Yisrael, because then it's going to be an issue of Shalom Malchus if we don't make it the same for other kings as well. So that's one halacha for which Echad ben Nisan is Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. And then there's a second halacha. It's also Rosh Hashanah l'regalim. Because when we count the Shalosh regalim, we always start from Nisan. And the nafkamina is for the Isra of Baal Ta'acher. We're going to see on Dav Dalid that Rabbi Shimon holds that in order to violate Baal Ta'acher, it's not just that if you committed to bring a karban, so after a certain amount of time passes, you violate an Isra called Baal Ta'acher, but there's going to be a machlokas tanoim, what it takes to violate Baal Ta'acher. Is it just any three regalim have to pass? Rabbi Shimon's shita is, no, you need kisidron. The three regalim have to pass in order. So sometimes it will take five regalim to pass until you violate Baal Ta'acher. So how do I know what's kisidron? How we begin, how we count them in order? So that's Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah is in Nisan, which means it's got to be Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos in that order, and only when you hit all three of those regalim in that order does one violate Baal Ta'acher. That was the first Rosh Hashanah. Second Rosh Hashanah now. Be'echad be'elul, Rosh Hashanah le'maiser behema. The first day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for Maiser behema. Once the first day of Elul comes, it's considered a new year, legabe Maiser behema, that we're not supposed to take Maisros from behemos that were born from this year, from that which were born last year, or vice versa. Maisa. And similarly, even to generate the Chiyuv of Maisa Behemah, a person is only Chayiv in Maisa Behemah if he had at least 10 new animals that were born into his flock that year. If there were 5 that were born before Echad Be'elul and 5 that were born after Echad Be'elul, so he's not Chayiv in the Maisa Behemah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omerim Be'echad B'tishrei. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say, no, that's not Echad Be'elul. I agree there needs to be a Rosh Hashanah the Maisa Behemah, but that's Be'echad B'tishrei, which is the Stam Rosh Hashanah. So that's also the Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behemah. It's no different. It happens in the regular Rosh Hashanah. The third Rosh Hashanah now, and according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, there is no second one, right? So there are only going to be 3, but according to everybody else, now we're up to the third Rosh Hashanah on the list. Be'echad B'tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. Echad B'tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years, meaning for the years of the king, and we're talking about the Malchi Umos Ha'olam at this point, that we count the years of the Malchi Umos Ha'olam, not from Nisan, but from Tishrei. And Legabe Lishmitin, another halacha as well, that Echad B'tishrei is when the Shemitah year begins. Ule Yovlos, Echad B'tishrei is when the Yovel year begins. And Lenatia, also Lenatia, when the second year of Orla begins in Echad B'tishrei, even if the Natia was Ba'av. So you plant a sapling in Chodesh Av, and the first 3 years, any fruit that it might produce, probably won't produce anything in the first 3 years. It takes a while for a tree to grow. But the first 3 years, that any fruit that it produces is going to be Arla, is going to be Asr B'Hanah. So if you plant it in Av, already by the time you hit Echad B'Tishrei, that's already the second year. So it's not going to have to be 3 full years from the time of the planting. Uli Yerakos, and also as far as taking Maisros from Yerakos, from vegetables, that we also follow where we follow the Lakita, that meaning the Halacha is that the years determined based on when you're located, based on when you pick the vegetables from the ground, so you're not allowed to take maisos from that which was nilkat before Rosh Hashanah to that was nilkat after Rosh Hashanah. It's got to be within the same year. And the same is true by Maiser Sheni and Maiser Ani, that some of the years, only years 3 and 6, you give Maiser Ani. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you give Maiser Sheni, you take Maiser Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim. So how do I know which vegetables are subject to Maiser Sheni, which ones are subject to Maiser Ani? You look at Echad B'Tishrei, whatever that's how we determine what number year it is in order to take Maisros. Now, one of the things we mentioned over here is L'Shemitin, that when it comes to Shemitah, we look at Echad B'Tishrei. So Rashi writes over here that what does it mean when it comes to Shemitah? Because there are certain Isurim that you have during Shemitah. Since it's the Shemitah year, we'll talk about it a little bit. Rashi writes that you're not allowed to be Choresh or Zoreya min HaTorah. The Midah writes that you cannot plow and you cannot plant during Shemitah. So very, very clear that Rashi says that Charisha is an Isur D'Oraisa during Shemitah. Tosos Masech HaSukkah and Daf Mem and Beis says the same, that Charisha during Shemitah is an Isur D'Oraisa. There is, though, an unusual Tosos. Tosos Moed Katan and Daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, where Tosos writes that Charisha B'Shviyas is not Asur Min HaTorah, only Asur Min D'Rabbanan. Chazanish in Shviyas, Simin Yutas, wonders how he could say such a thing. So of course Charisha is Asur Min HaTorah. It's one of the most basic things about Shemitah, that Charisha is Asur Min HaTorah. The Rambam is not as clear in terms of what he holds. In Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Shviyas, the Rambam quotes the pasuk B'charishu v'katzir tishbos, that there's Nisra say Min HaTorah. But then in Halacha Dalet he writes that someone who's Charish during Shviyas makinoso makas mardus midivrayim, that he gets only Malkus midirabanan. Whoa, wait a second. If it's Nisra D'Oraisa, why is he only getting Malkus midirabanan? Sounds like it's only a Nisra midirabanan. And that's how the Radvaz understands that Rambam. When it comes to Tosefes Shviyas, the Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Shviyas Halacha Hei writes that we're choresh an entire sa'ah for Eser Netios. That if you have 10 trees within an area of a Beis Sa'ah, you're allowed to be choresh the entire area in Tosefes Shviyas. But you see that during Shviyas it would be in Isser Min HaTorah, or at least Halachal Moshe Misinai, because the idea of Eser Netios is Halachal Moshe Misinai. So what do you mean? If the whole Halacha of Eser it means that you're allowed to be choresh the area during Tosefes Shviyas. So that that's halachal Moshe Misinai. So it must be at least halachal Moshe Misinai that you're not allowed to be choresh during Shviyas, etc. itself. So the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid understands that clearly the Rama must hold that it's an Isser min HaTorah. However, in the Pa'as HaShulchan, he says that the Rama holds that Charisha B'Shvius is only Midrabanan. Now, La Halacha, there's no doubt. La Halacha, we assume Charisha B'Shvius is an Isser min HaTorah, not an Isser Midrabanan. However, some are makel in certain situations of Suffolk Isser Charisha, like in a place that's roofed in, where according to many poskim, it has shame bias, and there's no Isser min HaTorah to plow there. And there's so much to be makel, since they assume that Bezman HaZeh, where we're Charish with a machine, there's no Isser Charisha min HaTorah anyway, because that's not Kederech Charisha. So if you put enough snifim lahakel, it's already in a hothouse or whatever. It's in it's got something, it's got a roof over it. So that already knocks it down. And you're only being Charish with a machine, that knocks it down even further. And who knows, maybe the Rambam Shita said it's only Midrabanan to begin with. So the Chazon Ish writes in Shvius Im Chafei that as far as Shvius, you can't say that plowing with a machine is a shinui. That's not, it's not Kedar. He said not Kedar Charisha is when the actual Charisha happens in an unusual way. Over here, you manage to put something else in between you and the plow blade, but the plow blade is doing the same thing a plow blade would normally do if an ox were pulling it. It's not enough of a shinui to be considered shalom kederech charisha. So we generally assume that charisha with machines, bizmanaza, whatever, it's all going to be an issue on a daoraisa level, that the charisha during Shavuos is a dinmi daoraisa. Okay, is nisimi daoraisa. Says the Gemara, the fourth Rosh Hashanah, be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah li'ilan. On the first day of Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for trees, as far as Meiser Peros, that we follow the Chanatas HaPri when it comes to Meisros. So we're not Ma'aser Peros that were Chonet before Rosh Chodesh Shvat for Peros that were Chonet after Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And the same is true when it comes to Meiser Sheni and Meiserani, determining what year those fruits are from. That the calendar turns on Rosh Chodesh Shvat from a Meiser Sheni year to a Meiserani year, and vice versa. And the same is true when it comes to Arla, that Peros, the fourth year starts for Netar Revai, only starts on Echad B'Shvat. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai Shita, that Echad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan. Beis Hillel Omrim B'Chamisha Asabo. Beis Hillel says, no, it's not Echad B'Shvat that's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan, it's Tu B'Shvat. It's Chamisha Asab B'Shvat that is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan. It's interesting that we call it Rosh Hashanah Li'ilan. Why not Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos? It's for multiple trees, not just for one tree. So there's a B'nai Yisaschar that suggests that this is Merames on the Kabbalah that we have from Meirab Seinu, that a person is supposed to daven on Tu B'Shvat to have a beautiful Esrog that year. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mazmin at when you need it for the mitzvah, that you'll find the nicest Esrog. Because that's the day that the Sraf goes into the trees, the sap goes into the trees. So it's based on the Zchus that a person has on that day, that his Esrog is going to be determined. So it's Le'ilan, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, it's for that tree, that one tree that I'm also, that one tree that the Torah tells us, that the Torah tells us is necessary for a mitzvah midaraisa of pri eitz hadar, of taking an esrog. Now it's also interesting the way we say it. Normally we say b'shamay omrim, b'silil omrim. Over here it's echa b'shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. So why does it say Kedivrei? Why not Divrei Beis Shammai? So the Gra explains, because later on Daf Ches Amud Aleph we're going to say that Amar Rav Ashi, that the Mishnah says that there are four Rosh Hashanim that are on four Rosh Chadashim. So that's why the Mishnah says that when we say Arba Rosh Hashanim, that's Dafka Kedivrei Beis Shammai, because according to the Beis Hillel, there aren't Arba Rosh Hashanim that are in Rosh Chadashim. Meaning when the Gemara is going to understand that the phrase Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, which is the name of the paragraph, the first few words of the Mishnah, is it means Arba Rosh Hashanim that actually occur on a Rosh Chodesh. That's only Kedivrei Beis Shammai. The heading of our Mishnah is only true Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Kedivrei Beis Hillel would not be true. Okay, in order to understand the next lines of Gemara, just a couple of basic halachas that we're probably already familiar with, but anyway, it's good to chazer a little bit. Number one, the halacha is that when you have a halva'a b'shtar, when you lend money with a shtar, there is a shibud nechazer. chasim. That means that if I borrow money from somebody, not only do I have to pay it back if I have cash, but even if I don't have cash, the person can come collect from my real estate, from my properties. Not only that, even if I've sold the properties in between the time of the loan and the time that he's coming to collect, he can go to the people that purchased those properties and take it from them. But that's only properties that I sold after the time of the loan. If at the time that I sold, if I sold the properties before the time of the loan, then people bought innocently, because I wasn't in debt at the time that they bought those properties. Those properties are not meshubad to a bal chov. They're not meshubad to the person who lent me the money. So that's halacha number one. Halacha number two, there's a din called a shtar muktam. A shtar muktam is like a shtar that's written on Tesvav B'Nisan, and they write that the halva happened on Echad B'Nisan, when really it didn't happen on Echad B'Nisan, it happened on Tesvav Nisan. So that shtar muktam is going to be possible, because what's it going to do? With a shtar muktam, a person is going to have the ability, the lender is going to have the ability to collect any from any fields that I might have sold between Echad B'Nisan and Tesvav B'Nisan. But he's not really entitled to that. If he didn't lend me the money until Tesvav, he's not entitled to anything that was sold beforehand. So shtar muktam is going to be puzzle. I remember at my chasna, my brother had written up my tanaim, because I don't know why I couldn't just buy $4 in the store a regular tanaim. But my brother said the night before took his father-in-law's tanaim, his in-laws tanaim, the Tendlers, Dr. Yaakov and Yael Tendler, that was handwritten by Rav Moshe, and he just typed up the same text for me. And Rabbi Tendler came to the chasna, and he looked at the tanaim. He said, "What kind of nusach is this?" So my brother said, "It's Zaydi's nusach. What do you mean?" He said, "Nah, Shver must have not been feeling well that day. This isn't his nusach." And then he said, "Wait, you put the wrong date on it. You wrote the because we got married at 4 o'clock, and it was November, so it was before Shkia, after." So he said, "You made it muktam." My brother said, "I didn't think it matters in a chinami or anything. It matters so much for a tanaim. Tanaim doesn't really matter anyway. I mean, shtar muktam matters when there's some sort of shibud. All our tanaim says, certainly with Ramesh's nusach, even if he wasn't feeling well that day, all the tanaim says with Ramesh's nusach is that everyone agrees that we're ready to get married. It doesn't. There's no shibud. There's no nothing in it. But anyway, so we try not to have a shtar muktam, not for a ksuba, not for anything. But a shtar muktam and a shtar chov is a very serious matter. That's why a ksuba could be a serious matter, because it's a matter of when the Shibud begins. So you don't have a shtar muktam. Shtar mu'uchar, however, is not a problem, because if you have a shtar mu'uchar, so what are you doing already? You're just saying that I'm not going to be able to collect from nechasim that were sold until a later date. So you're allowed to be mochel that. If you happen to be a lender and you want to be mochel whatever properties the guy could unload in the next few weeks after he borrows the money from you, okay, you're allowed, you don't have to be mochel that, but you're allowed to be mochel that. They can't write the shtar without you. So obviously, if you're okay with that writing of the shtar, so then you were mochel such a thing. So shtar mu'uchar is not going to be a problem. Only shtar muktam is going to be a problem. So the minog in the Zmana Gemara was to write shtaros to date the shtaros based on the Shnas HaMalchus, Mishum Shalom Malchus. So in Nisan they would write the third year of Melech whatever, or whatever year. And since sometimes it was written in the shtar, the Zman that was written in the shtar and the Eidus on the Alva'a were at two different times, it was important to have a standard that they always followed, so you could know, was the shtar a muktam or a mu'uchar, because you had to know when the calendar turns. If you don't know when the calendar turns, and it and you just know that the halva happened in let's say Adar, and that the shtar was written in Iyar, so I don't know, did the calendar turn in Nisan or did the calendar not turn in Nisan? I need to know if it's muktam or if it's mu'uchar. So that's what the Gemara basically says. So says the Gemara in the Mishnah had told us l'malachim that echa b'nisan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim l'may hilchasa. Why do we have to be koveya a particular regular day to count for all kings? Why not just count each king's years based on the date that he took over the throne? So Rav Chista l'shtaros, we need to be able to easily tell the difference between a shtar muktam and a shtar mu'uchar. If you don't have a zman kavua for all kings, and the numbers of years for each melech will be from the from when he happened to take over the throne, that's how we're going to date it. So if a shtar were to come that was written and signed by Edim based on the bakasha of the lova without the Edim seeing the alva, and the Edim on the alva is some other time, we're not going to know if this man that's written in the shtar is before the alva and it's a shtar muktam, or if it was after the alva and it's a shtar mu'uchar. And the tnan, and we know that this is a shtar muktam, the halach is the tnan shtar yichova muktam and psulin. A shtar muktam is going to be possible because you're going to be able to be gova milukuchos shelo kedin. You'll be able to collect from people who at the time that they purchased those properties, the fellow was not in debt. V'amucharin ksherin, but a shtar mu'uchar is going to be kosher. So if the zman written in the shtar is mu'uchar from the zman of the halva'a that preceded it, it would be kosher because there's no chshash of being torif milukuchos shelo kedin, because at that time that the shtar was written, the lova was ready meshubad to the malva. Now, the again, the reason that it's possible is because we're afraid he's going to collect from the lukuchos from the time that it's that's written in the shtar, which is before the zman halva'a, and that would be shalok adin. So it says the Ritva that you can't say that the Edim were makdim the zman and wrote the zman earlier, because if that were the case, they'd be Edim psulim, and the shtar would be a chaspa bialma anyway. Meaning if Edim are falsifying that shtar, then the shtar is anyway a chaspa bialma. So what would be the case where you'd even have a shtar muktam where it's even anything to talk about, where the Edim would not possible themselves just by signing it? So it could be that they wrote it on the day of the halva'a, but they didn't give it to the malva until Tishrei, and they thought that the that Edom b'chasumin zachlo. Could be that they were unfamiliar with exactly with the halacha that when the critical date was, or that they were lova b'nisan, they didn't write the shtar at Tishrei, and they wrote the zman minisan, and they thought from the shas halva'a the shibud begins, but be'emes the shibud is only chal mishas k'sivas hashtar, because it's not really about when the loan happened, and it's about when the shtar is written, because a milva al peh doesn't have a shibud nuchasim, only a milva b'shtar has a shibud nuchasim. So there are a number of ways that the Edom could have simply made a mistake and they would still be kosher Edom, but you would still have such a thing called a shtar muktam. So that's why the chum were koveya, that we always count from Chodesh Nisan, and that way we always know that if the shtar says that the halva was in Chodesh Kislev of the third year, and the halva was in fact in Chodesh Tammuz of the third year, we know that it's a shtar mu'uchar, because Tammuz is before Kislev in Shnas HaMelech, because if the shtar was written Lechad B'Kislev of the third year, so B'Nisan, after Kislev, a new year would begin. So for sure it would be a shtar mu'uchar, and it would be kosher. So the Gemara is going to ask on Daf Ches, that from the Mishnah in Rosh that Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim is B'Tishrei, so Nafkamina and Nafkamina L'in Shtaros, and the Gemara is going to say, no, there's a difference between Malchay Shtaros of counting Malchay Yisrael and Malchay Umos HaOlam. So at least at this point, when we're explaining the beginning of our Mishnah, that's only for Malchay Yisrael. So we're going to distinguish there are different times to count for Malchay Yisrael, as we saw the Mishnah already, and Malchay Umos HaOlam. Tan Rabbanan, Melech Shamad Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'adar. So the way it works is, if a king takes over the throne on the 29th day of Adar, Kivan Shehigia Echad B'Nisan, also Loshana. As soon as Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, all of a sudden we're writing in the Shtaros that it's the second year of his reign. He's been on the throne for a day, and we're already counting the second year of his reign. But if he takes over the throne on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he's going to have to wait a full year until we start counting it, the second year of his reign. So it's all a matter of timing of when he takes over the throne. So we just said in the Brisa, Melech Sha'amad Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'adar, Kivan Shehigiach B'Nisan also Loshana, that the king takes over on the 29th day of Adar. So as soon as the next day comes, Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, it's already going to be considered his second year. So the Chora, that is a Davar Pashut. What's the Chiddush? So ha kamashmalan. The Chiddush is as follows. The Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, that number one, Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, to let us know exactly when it is. The Mishnah taught us that, that's okay. The Brisa is allowed to teach us things that the Mishnah taught us. It's just supposed to add another detail. And it does add another detail. It adds, V'yomechad B'Shanah, Chashav Shana. You'll also see from this Brisa that one day is enough to be considered a full year. So even if it was Mamish, the last day of the year, was Chavtes Adar, it still counts as a full year in counting the years of his reign. And then the Brisa went on to say, Vimlo Amar El Echad B'Nisan, Ein Mon Lo Shana Chiyagi Nisan Acher, that if he only took over at Echad B'Nisan, then we only count the full year the following Nisan. Pshita, isn't that also obvious? If Echad B'Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim, obviously he's not going to hit year two until he gets to an Echad B'Nisan. So L'tzricha Dimna Alei Me'adar. Now the Chiddush over here is that maybe he's been the president-elect since Adar. They already decided that it was already fully determined that he was going to take over the throne from Adar. So, Ma'ud Detema, Nimnulei, Tartin Shnin. I might think that when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, it should count as a second year already. Kamash Milan, that we know. We only count from when he actually takes over the throne, but not from when it's been determined that he will take over the throne. Tan Rabbanan. So the Brisa tells us three cases. Meis ba'adar va'amad acher tachtav ba'adar mon shana lezeh lezeh. What if in middle of the year, or in this case toward the end of the year, the throne changes hands? A king dies in Chodesh Adar, a new king takes over in Chodesh Adar, so that counts as a year for each of those kings. You could write l'minyan hashanim of the first melech, or you could write l'minyan hashanim of the new melech. Meis b'nisan va'amar acher tachtav b'nisan. If a king dies in Nisan and another king takes over in Nisan, mon shana lezeh lezeh. Again, you could count from the first melech, or you can count from the new melech. Meis ba'adar va'amar acher tachtav b'nisan. But if a king dies in Adar and the other one doesn't take over until Nisan, mon rishon l'rishon ushni l'sheni. Then you have to count the first year for the first king, the second year for the second king, because the first king was not in control during the second year, and the second king was not at all in control during the first year. The Aruch Lener raises a suffix: what if a person dies in Adar, king dies in Adar, and the second one doesn't take over until Iyar? How would you count Nisan of that year where there was still no new king? And even if the second one took over in Nisan in middle of the month, what if he didn't start? You know, he didn't take over when the clock strikes 12? Not 12, but when when it hits Rosh Chodesh. So what do you do with those in between days, which the first king was not there anymore, but the second king had not taken power yet? So he says he thinks that you'd have to then count, you'd then write the Shtar Leminyan Shnos Ha'olam. You'd have to do Lebriya Sa'olam, like we write in Ksubas nowadays, that we write Lebriya Sa'olam. However, the Meiri writes, V'lamadita Shekol Shemesa Melech Monolo Afla Acharmisa. That you can, the Miri writes, that you continue to count with the deceased king until there's a new king. So even if it's a year that the deceased king was not at all, he was already dead for the entirety of the year, you still count by the years of the deceased king until there's a new king. Okay, but now the Gemara is going to go into each of these statements that the Brisa made. Three different statements. If the king dies in Adar, someone takes over in Adar, dies in Nisan, someone takes over in Nisan, or dies in Adar, someone takes over in Nisan. Samarmar, we said, Meis ba'adar v'amenachar tachta ba'adar, if the king dies in Adar and someone took over for him, in Adar, manam shana lezeh lezeh. Then we count a year for each of them. Pshita, obviously, it's also a year for the second guy because he took over before Nisan. So Ma'ud Detema Shata LeBeitrei LeMeninan. I would have thought that you can't count a year for two people. So Kamash Milan, that a calendar year can be split between two people. That as soon as he takes over, it's permissible to count toward him. The Achronim raised the question: why don't we just have the Sefer then, and you'll be able to learn both dinim, that you Shata LeBeitrei and that Yom Shana is Chashav Shana. So the Turi Evan says that I would have thought that that's only that you count Shasal Beitrei when the first one dies in Nisan. If we would not have had this case of dying in Adar, we only would have had the case where the guy dies in Nisan and someone else takes over. I would have thought that it's only when someone dies in Nisan and you already started counting the year from the previous king, and the new king has most of the year ahead of him, that's where you're going to be able to count Shasal Beitrei. But if the previous king dies all the way at the end of the year, and the new king is only there for a day or two at the beginning, you know, toward the very end of the year, that shouldn't be Yom Echad B'Shana, should not count as a Shana for that king. So that's why it has to tell me the Chiddush already over here, that even when it flips in Adar, you're already allowed to count it as the first year of that new king that took over in Adar. Then the Braisa went on to say, Mace Benisan Vamarach Tachta Benisan. The king dies in Nisan, another one takes over in Nisan. Again, you count a year for each one. Shita, that's also obvious. No, Maudatema, Kia, Mina, Nyamecha, Bashana, Chashav Shana, Besov Shana. When do we say one day in a year counts as a year? That's only at the end of the year. But I would think at the beginning of the year you have by other halachos where the beginning of a day doesn't count as a yom shalim, doesn't count as a full day. So kamash milan, that's why it has to tell me that even though b'tchilas hashana yom echad b'shana is chashav shana, that even at the beginning of a year one full day, a full day of the year is considered like a year. Then the Braisa said, Meis ba'adar v'menachar takta b'nisan. If one king dies in Adar, the other one takes over in Nisan, monin rishon al rishon, ushniel l'sheni. So the previous year is for the previous king, the second year is for the next king. Pshita, that one is really obvious, because the first one was only molech in that year, and the second year goes for the second king, because he was the one that was the melech in the second year. So it says, lo tzricha di'im ralei me'adar. Now the chiddush is that even though they already appointed him in Adar, meaning it was already determined that he was going to be the king in Adar, and Umelech ben Melechu, he's a Melech ben Melech, and the Malchus is a Yerusha, so it's obvious that he was going to be the king. So I might have thought that you should count 2 years for him. So Kamash Milan, therefore, it tells me that we don't count, we only count from when he actually took over, and not we don't count the 2 years. So it says the Gemara, how do I know that we count for kings from the Chodesh Nisan? Because the pasuk says, "Vayibishmon m'shana v'arba me'ashana l'tzeis bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim b'shana arviyus b'chodesh ziv." That it says the fourth year of Malchus Shlomo in Chodesh Ziv, which is Iyar, hu achodesh hasheni, and that's the second month of the fourth year. L'mloch Shlomo al Yisrael, that Shlomo Melech was Melech over Yisrael, and then the pasuk continues, "Vayivin abayis Hashem." That's when he built the Beis Hamikdash. That's when he began to build the Beis Hamikdash. So you see, the pasuk is counting the number of years from Yitzias Mitzrayim and from Malchus Shlomo. So we see from there that Malchus Shlomo, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we have a hekesh in how we count Malchus of a Jewish king and how we count to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, my Yitzias Mitzrayim min Nisan, av Malchus Shlomo min Nisan. Just like Yitzias Mitzrayim gets counted from Nisan, so Malchus Shlomo also gets counted from Nisan. So that's how we know that we count Malchus from Malchus Yisrael from Nisan. Tosfos points out that Shlomo HaMelech was Humlach B'Nisan. So Sfasemis raises that it says in Tosfos Chagiga in the name of Yerushalmi that David HaMelech died in Atzeres. So why did they wait till Nisan to be Mamluch Shlomo? And it's Dochak to say that Shlomo HaMelech was already a Melech B'Chaye Yaviv. So the Pasuk Council of Malchus Shlomo, when David was already Chay V'Kayim, when David was still alive, hard to say such a thing. In Mitzudas Tzioni says that Pe'emes, David was Mamluch Shlomo during his lifetime. He wanted him already in place during his lifetime. That's what the Malbim writes as well. It's a little bit difficult because the Gemara in Shabbos says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, who asked not to die on Shabbos, that Ein Malchus Nogas B'Chavirta, that you have to die at a particular time because there can't be any overlap. But it sounds like from the Mefarshim on the Navi that there was real overlap, and it was purposely put there as a David HaMelech Dafka put him in place already. So that's a little bit difficult. Anyway, says the Gemara, you're telling me I know that we count Malchei Yisrael Minisan because there's a hekesh between Malchei Yisrael, how we count Malchei Yisrael, and how we count Yitzias Mitzrayim. Who told you that you count Yitzias Mitzrayim in Nisan? Dilma Mitzrayim in Nisan. Maybe we should count the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim from Tishrei. Lo sal kadaitach. No, you can't say that Yitzias Mitzrayim you count from Tishrei. Duchsiv vayal Aron Hakohen el har ahar al pi Hashem vayamas sham bishnas ha'arba'im letzeis b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha'chamishi b'echad ha'chodesh. So in the fifth month, which is Av, in the 40th year of Yitzias Mitzrayim is when Aaron dies. Uksiv vayi b'arba'im shana v'ashtei asar chodesh b'echad ha'chodesh Dibur Moshe, that you see from there, then Chodesh Shvat, the following Chodesh Shvat, and it's still the 40th year. So if in Av it's the 40th year, and then the following Shvat it's the 40th year, it must mean that in no time between Av and Shvat does the calendar change. So it obviously doesn't change in Tishrei. So mitkay ba'av v'kari l'shnas arbaim. If you're going to call it the 40th year in Av, v'kari b'shvat v'kari l'shnas arbaim, and then you're still going to call it the 40th year in Shvat, mechal the Rosh Hashanah l'av Tishreiu. You see very clearly the Rosh Hashanah is not Tishrei, and the Ritva points out, and you obviously see also that Rosh Hashanah is not any of the other months that are in between Av and Shvat, but none of the others were candidates, right? Only Tishrei was a candidate. So it says more bishlo meheich. I understand the pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar talks about Misas Aaron is mefarish litzias Mitzrayim. It says beferish that it's counting litzias Mitzrayim. Elahai, but the pasuk in Chumash Devarim yimaydi litzias Mitzrayim. How do you know that it's counting to litzias Mitzrayim? Dilmal hakamas hamishkan. Maybe it's counting from hakamas hamishkan, which was in the second year in the midbar. Kedamar of Papa shnas esrim legzeru shava. No, it's like the Gemara is going to say later on in tomorrow's daf that we have gzeru shava of shnas esrim. So hachanami shnas arbaim legzeru shava. The term shnas arbaim is used in two places. We make a gzeru shava. Ma kan liyitzias Mitzrayim, saaf kan liyitzias Mitzrayim. Just like the pasuk in Bamidbar is explicit that it's liyitzias Mitzrayim, so too in Sefer Devarim it's also liyitzias Mitzrayim. So you see clearly that Chodesh Av is called the 40th year. The following Shvat is called the 40th year. So obviously the Rosh Hashanah is not Tishrei. The Rosh Hashanah is going to have to be Nisan, and that's how we count the years from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue that conversation and how we know the order of those two events to know that the Shvat was after the death of Aaron and not before the death of Aaron. Okay, have a great day, everybody.